Back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and our discussion continues with the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. And, Jim, we left off talking about North Turner and the offense now with Ray Horton coming aboard as defensive coordinator, what this can mean to this scheme. I think, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how the adjustment to his style of defense, to this 3-4 sort of Steelers look, how the Browns convert to that. And as much as people panic a little bit and wring their hands and say, oh, my God, how do you make a conversion from a 4-3 to a 3-4? I think it's very doable given the style of defense that that is, and where the concerns are mostly, to me, in the front four, that you can utilize the majority of those players, especially Phil Taylor, Ataba Rubin, John Hughes, Billy Winn. I think there's enough versatility there to for those guys to fit into this.
Yeah, and the last few names that you mentioned there, I mean, they're so young in their NFL careers. I mean, Winn, well, they're really all young. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about Rubin, and he's really, you know, he's not deep into his career. He's towards the middle of his career. But, I mean, we were talking about guys that are young in their career, Billy Winn, John Hughes, Phil Taylor, and this is a big adjustment for them. There's no question. But it's funny, Vic, and I know you've been out of town the last couple of weeks, but this is a concern around town.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. People are very concerned about this. It's not that they didn't applaud the fact that Ray Horton's coming here, but they were concerned about, you know, the configuration of the Browns defense and having to make big adjustments. And with the question mark being, can these players, you know, make the adjustment now to a different style of defense? And do we have the right players here currently on the roster, or are we going to go, you know, into the spin cycle again and try and come up with something? So it really has affected Browns fans. I'm sure you've read it a little bit.
I felt that concern all the way down to Alabama.
Yeah,
and
3-4
Louisiana.
Is a tough number in Cleveland right now.
It is a tough number. But I think again, that number one, you know, we there's so much we don't – you make that point about younger players. We don't know truly what these guys will be all about. Even if you stayed in a 4-3, their growth and development in that scheme – was still open-ended.
Yeah.
And they were there are guys who have had experience in both schemes from their collegiate careers to the NFL. That's one thing. And I know people get very focused on how hard a transition it seems to be, that you're built to be to play a certain way. I think the key is, how do the linebackers fit this? Mm-hmm. And that's where, other than DeQuell Jackson, I guess that's where maybe those question marks linger. But you still have a very young James Michael Johnson.
Yes.
You still have a young Craig Robertson. You still have a young LJ Ford.
Very young.
Who are those guys? What can they? How can they fit? And I'm not so sure that they're horrendous fits in one form or another in this type of scheme.
Yeah, and the other thing, Vic, is you got to wonder about, where is Gokong? All of this. I mean, you know, how is he coming along? And after getting hurt in training camp last year, and then, you know, what is the adjustment with him? Because he's a fine football player. And, you know, these are young guys. I mean, I will say this. DeQuell Jackson looked very good in a 4-3.
Yeah.
But I know he was in a 3-4, you know, before the Browns made the switch at the time. So it can happen, and it obviously will happen. But you are dealing with young players. You're not trying to teach an old dog new tricks here.
No.
You have a lot of young dogs that you're trying to just make an adjustment with.
Yeah, young pups. And you're trying to get that to fit. The other thing I really like about Horton is – just kind of the body language, the attitude. I mean, I think he comes in basically with that sort of Steeler mindset of aggressiveness, of hard hitting. And this isn't to say that the Browns lack that with Dick Geron. Certainly Dick Geron was all about physical play, but in a different way. He was more of the studious, professorial kind of coach. I see with Horton a guy that brings a level of energy that could be, I think, very infectious within these players.
Yeah, and I think, I mentioned this to him when I talked to him, and, of course, he was a great student of Dick LeBeau.
Right.
You know, and of course, even over here in Cleveland, that's a very sacred, highly esteemed name for what he's done with the Steeler defenses throughout the years. I mean, brilliant. But I always remember, and I said this to Ray, I always remember looking at the many young quarterbacks that the Browns have had and their eyes in the locker room after they have seen that LeBeau defense of trying to locate where those blitzers are going to be coming from.
Right.
You know, and I think that Ray has picked up on that. And I think he likes to send pressure, a lot of pressure, and it's got to come from different spots. So much so that the offense seems to be on their heels And that's how the Browns used to be with the Steelers, because you got to find it first,
mm-hmm.
and then you got to adapt to it, and you got to block it. And all of that's a lot to happen in a very short period of time, and it is difficult for young quarterbacks to pick it up, and that's why the Steelers have had so much success. It's tough for veteran quarterbacks to pick it up.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, you know, you're right about that. And when you think about what the real essence, the real key to that defense is, I see it as overload blitzing mm-hmm. in these various gaps. Basically, what this defense comes down to is crisscrossing and moving people around, but attacking a hole with multiple blitzers and essentially putting one side or the other of the protection in peril, because right. they can't handle all these guys coming.
Right.
I mean, the key is, of course, that they've got to get there and or do something to disrupt the quarterback, because they've left a big spot open for a completion.
That's right.
But if it works right, those overload blitzes are great.
Yeah. I mean, you're flooding an area.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, hey, listen, you know, here it comes. Can you block it, or can we get there? And if we can get there, then it's going to wreak some havoc, or an errant throw, or an untimely throw, or just a stop.
Right.
But if it doesn't get there, like you said, there is a blemish there. There's an opening, and it can really gouge you a little bit.
And another part of that I really like, and maybe this is the underappreciated part, Jim, is practicing against this on a regular basis should only be a good thing for a team that's got to play the Steelers twice,
right.
that's got to play the Ravens twice.
Right.
And I know the Ravens aren't – it's a little bit of a different defensive scheme than Pittsburgh's, but it is similarly aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think – and again, 3-4 type of setup. I think it's a great thing for this offense to get used to seeing that on a regular basis.
You know, the other thing, Vic, is that you're right, and I agree with you on that, but it's amazing these guys that bring this defense in. And Ray Horton's bringing it in now. And, you know, and Eric Mangini brought it in.
Right.
And Romeo Crennel brought it in.
Yeah.
Okay. 3-4 guys truly believe in the 3-4.
Yeah.
I mean, they love the 3-4.
It's their roots.
Yeah, it's their roots. And they will defend it. And if you ask them a question, I mean, are you going to stay in the 3-4? Would you ever consider running? No, we are 3-4 guys. I mean, their alumni association for the 3-4 is one of the proudest, I think, around.
It's a proud group. And they believe it. And you have to. I mean, if you're going to do something in your tie your coaching career to a system, to a scheme, and not unlike North Turner and Rob Chudzinski on offense, but I think from a defensive standpoint in particular, that has to be something you believe is the best way to go. It's what you know, and you believe it's better than anything else out there, your way of doing it, and I don't know that you can operate any other way.
Yeah, and you know, and in kind of closing out, I really congratulate Rob Chudzinski for being able to come up with the staff that he is really putting together, because we pointed this out in our shows, you know, right after right after the season ended, and as we went up to the selection of a head coach, when a first-time head coach is sitting in front of these people, Jimmy Haslam, Joe Banner, in this situation here in Cleveland, when they have to fire that question at him and say, hey, listen, you've never been a head coach before, can you get a staff? To be able to feel confident that you can attract this kind of staff and right at the top with these coordinators says a lot about Chudzinski. To be able to get North Turner to come here, I mean, North Turner had a lot of calls to join teams. And Ray the same way. I'm sure, you know, Ray Horton, you know, did a lot of great work. To be able to get these guys to run your special areas, offensively, defensively, really says a lot about this head coach.
And I think an underappreciated part of what the Browns did was retain Chris Tabor for special teams.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good under-the-radar move. I think people were probably on the outside were probably maybe a little ambivalent, saying, well, he's only been here a couple of years, and you know that first year was a rough go for special teams, to say the least. But I think what was overlooked was how well they rebounded as a group, special teams-wise. And you know, we know all the reasons, and you know, highlighted or low-lighted by the fact that the long snapper just had a meltdown last year, and Ryan Pompreon, unexpectedly and surprisingly. But on top of all of that, just the way it improved so thoroughly, and I think the coverage got so much better, and you know, having now teaching Reggie Hodges the punting style that Tabor wanted, that more directional type of kicking, I thought as we got to the end of this past season, you could see that his influence on special teams was so good
yes.
that this new coaching staff didn't have to go after somebody else, and that easily could have been done. There were other special teams coaches out there.
Oh, sure. And there were a lot of teams that wanted Chris.
Yeah,
you know, after the season.
Chris,
I mean, there were
yeah.
like six teams that contacted the Browns to see if they could talk to him.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, what a difference a year makes for that group. And the thing to remember, Browns fans, is this, how young this team was. That really transcends out onto the field on special teams.
Right.
Because when you're really young, then you're like a baby out there. You're you know, infant type age on special teams, because that's where these guys play.
Absolutely.
It's where they cut their teeth, is on special teams. And
yeah.
you can really get burned with young players. You're right. By the end of the year, I thought that they were the best in the league.
I did too.
No, I know statistically they were right up there.
Yeah, no, statistically.
But certainly they were very, very good on the eye to watch.
The interesting thing now, Jim, and we'll talk more about this as we go forward with our shows, but we're now going to get into we're now at the point of the season where draft preparation, free agency preparation, and how you're putting together personnel. And I know there's going to be a lot of focus on what this team does at quarterback, but you know, we've laid it out here. There are going to be some key spots defensively that are going to get a good look.
Right.
We talked about linebacker. We'll see where safety comes into this, cornerback, to fit all that the blitzing and aggressiveness that the defense does. And, you know, I think tight end is another mm-hmm. area, too, on the offensive side of the ball. Ben Watson being where he is in his career.
Right.
We'll see how this team moves forward. And wide receiver, too, is going to be another to at least figure out, I think, those second. If Greg Little isn't the solid second, he's no lower than the third in my mind.
No.
After Josh Gordon. But, you know, so you've got some openings there to figure out in the receiving
court. Yeah, you really do. And I think that we're a lot farther along than we were at this time last year.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that, you know, but again, the big question is, that number one question is that, you know, do they have the quarterback here?
Yeah.
Is he here? And I'm telling you, it just hits you like a punch in the nose when you watch these teams advance on in the playoffs, and it's the quarterback that really gets them there.
And that Super Bowl, you're right, underscores the fact of how great, how important that position, what it is and what it means, because when it was all said and done, you'd take either of those guys.
Absolutely,
Flacco, the MVP, and certainly Colin Kaepernick as he came through with a much improved game in the second half.
And, you know, Vic, I give the Ravens credit because they've been patient with Flacco.
Yeah.
And yet, from a very young start, he had the ability to win playoff games, and mostly on the road. I mean, they haven't played many at home. So he's done it on the road, but he's had those periods where people wondered about him. Is he too blasé? Does he get catatonic at some points in games? But, man, I'll tell you what, they stayed with him, and they knew they had the guy, and then finally, you know, it really came up. I mean, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions throughout the playoffs. That will win you a Super Bowl.
Jim, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Vic. Good to see you again.
Yeah, we'll pick this up next week. He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.